Hey, you're listening to The Morning Show, and it's time for our Kairongoa segment. I want to welcome Ngarono Renata to the studio. Good morning.
Ai, atamari e koutou ma. Ai, kia ora.
Kia ora.
Ko tai mai au, ko tai tinana mai au. Ko tēnei te wā whakamutunga mo tēnei te kaupapa o te tau nei. Ka nui te mihi atu ki a koutou. E noho mai nei i runga i roto i o koutou kāinga, i raro i tēnei maunga, te maunga tapu o Kariwe. Ai. I just like to bring our attention to Kariwe and the name Kariwe. Not so much about the meaning of Kariwe, because that's not my area. Well, I don't whakapapa. I want to talk about it in terms of when we have what we call a pepeha, or we recite in different group settings or on our marae or any setting that we are in with people, we often use geographical points of reference. That's the best way to describe them. However, they're much deeper than just a geographical landscape. And Kariwe is, people will say, I whakapapa to Kariwe, which means they are mana whenua, that they have a lineage of a bloodline that is from this maunga. And then we have a general term called tangata whenua, which is for those who sit in a space of, I hear people using First Nations as a way of describing, or Indigenous to a place. We all become Indigenous to a place after a time.
Mm.
That's a given.
How long? Can you give us an exact number? I know you can't. No. It's a silly question.
Everyone becomes Indigenous at some point because they become embedded within the whenua.
My bloodline traces back to Europe, obviously, but I don't feel a connection with that place.
Yeah.
I've been there. In fact, I was born in the UK and my parents came back.
Really?
Yeah, and then my parents came back when I was 3 weeks old.
3 weeks.
So I went, my first time overseas to Europe, I went to the place where I was born, a town called Aylesbury outside of London, and I felt nothing. It was kind of an anticlimax, you know.
Oh, you were hopeful that you would feel some...
I don't know what I thought was going to happen, but I felt nothing. But I felt things when I come back here.
Yes, yeah. Yes, of course you do.
Yeah.
And was that on a ship or on...
I flew.
Oh, at that...
Yeah, no, it was my parents' generation.
Three weeks old, they allowed you on the plane.
Yeah.
Can you still... You can't travel that young, I think.
I wouldn't try myself. But my parents were up for it. And I was a fairly easy baby, apparently, one of those ones that didn't make a lot of noise.
And this place that you were born in, what was its name again?
Aylesbury.
Well, there you go. Yeah. I think it's really important for us to acknowledge this indigeneity that we talk about a lot in discussions and who's Indigenous to where. We all become Indigenous to place when we stay long enough.
Mm.
Something happens to us.
Yeah.
About our sense of belonging.
Yeah.
Our sense of identity. And so don't let anyone take that away from you.
There's something about where you spend your childhood as well, isn't there?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Of course, there's a link. So, yeah, yes, of course.
Yeah. Mm. I spent a few years, 4 years over in Wainui Beach and out of Gisborne. And when that movie Whale Rider came out, it's set further up the coast, but I immediately recognised the landscape. And I couldn't say why, but I just knew, you know, that, yeah.
Through the eyes of a child, that memory is embedded in you in a photographic way.
Yeah.
Beautiful as well.
So this segment's called Kairongoa, and often we talk about other things, but today we are going to talk about this is not herbal medicine. This is, how do we say it in English? Or is it herbal medicine? These are not herbs. These are trees.
Yeah, that's
plant
good.
Plant medicine.
Plant medicine.
Yeah.
Plant. Trees. They're trees, bushes, grasses. There are a whole variety of what that looks like. So, yeah. The landscape. The different ecosystems. The layering of that. As in a ngahere. The first one I have here for you is called Pukatea. Pukatea is known in English as the morphine plant.
Oh.
The bark of the Pukatea. So the Pukatea is a buttress type tree, and wouldn't say I've seen them growing in a grove, but they really stand out because of the way that they grow. So they spend a lot of time before they get really tall. Like, they don't just appear and then they're, you know, there. Most natives are like that, though. They take time. They take a long time to mature.
Like, how long are we talking?
Well, a Kauri is, of course, as you know, hundreds of years. But in terms of maturity, you know, what you think, if you want to plant them within a landscape area, if you're looking for cover, you wouldn't choose a Pukatea in your lifetime.
Right.
Because it just won't happen. Yeah. That won't provide that. It's more of a chiefly tree in that sense. It takes time to establish its systems. The bark is always harvested on the west side. The bark has a strong analgesic property and is used to treat pain such as neuralgia and toothache. It's also used for tumours and running sores. Internally, it is taken to treat chronic ulcers. Now, we don't have what we call tuberculosis, but we have forms of lung diseases which would be of a similar nature, where the tincture of Pukatea can be put within the medicine that you receive if you're working with a herbalist, naturopath. And different complementary medicine people who know those things, they will be able to offer you that. The decoction, decoction is used for diarrhea.
What's a decoction? What does that mean?
Decoction is a preparation where it's more than just the bark. It's small branches. It's more parts of the tree are placed in and simmered. They're cooked.
Okay, yeah.
They're cooked slowly.
Mm.
So it's not like making a cup of tea. In 5 minutes it's ready. It could be 5 hours.
Okay.
Usually is much longer. 5 hours would be a minimum, but it's very slowly prepared, and that's a decoction. So the spiritual properties of Pukatea. Pukatea teaches us about raising our vibration to release old patterns. It facilitates the removal of any addictions that may be present in your life, such as drug addiction, alcohol, or medication. I've never worked with it in that way, by the way. but that's its spiritual gifts, what it teaches. The facts. This rungoa is found in damp, swampy places. There's a beautiful Pukatea along the Upper Wainui track. Some will be nodding their heads and going, oh yeah, I know where that is. Yeah, it's swampy. Yeah. It is known for as the morphine plant because it has strong analgesic properties. It is as strong as morphine, but without the side effects.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's quite a significant in that regard.
Side effects are like constipation for morphine, is it?
No, I'm not familiar with morphine. I just know that it's used a lot.
Mm.
More than it should be. Oh, did I say that?
I tell you what, when people are desperately in pain, they don't care. They
Do you reckon?
Yeah, because I had it once when I had a massive toothache, and because of another medication I was on, I couldn't use the normal painkillers, so it was like straight onto that stuff, and it was very effective.
Okay.
Was it morphine? I might be getting mixed up with something else. Oxycontin, which is one that's had a nasty addiction effect on people in the US, but I didn't use it for long enough.
Yeah, interesting.
So side effects, addiction.
Mm. New research indicates that pukatea helps to treat Parkinson's. It supports physical balance and helps to stabilize and have so you have steady movement. We'll leave the chemical properties because we're just going to carry on. So pukatea has a small serrated leaf. It's quite distinctive. All native plants are distinctive. So I guess, yeah.
Well, to you they are.
Yeah,
they
me,
will
they
be
are.
To you for yeah. sure. I don't know. Would they be that? Actually, no, I'm looking at the leaf now. That is relatively distinctive. I think I could probably go now into the forest and find it. But I would find
and
it.
And see the buttressed.
Yeah, the big buttress roots at the bottom. Yeah. And yeah. I'd have to go somewhere where the ground was damp.
Yeah. The Upper Wainui track is a good place to greet and to mihi to a pukatea. The next one, these are favourites of mine actually that I'm reading, that I'm sharing with you. Tanekaha. It's known as the celery pine.
Ah, that's because it looks like, I'm looking at the picture
Look
of the leaves now.
Look at that.
Yeah, it looks a little bit like celery.
Very much like celery. It's so the medicinal properties. Tanekaha has strong antifungal properties and treats athlete's foot and fungal infections of the skin. It is used to treat boils, abscesses, and septic infections. That would be useful for people to know to use in foot baths. It would be useful to use it in that way or in bathing. Bathing. Internally, the bark is used as a liver tonic for severe gastric conditions and for diarrhea. It is especially good for internal hemorrhaging and is also used to allay heavy menstrual bleeding. It helps to expel the placenta during the birth process and has been known to be used as an abortive.
All right.
For abortion. I don't know of any incidences where it's used in that, but it's obviously a historical note about tanekaha.
How long does it take to effect? Like they talk about using it to when it's time for the placenta. Like how long, you take it orally, and then how long before it has an effect? I'm curious.
You would hope that would happen fairly quickly, like quickly as in within an hour, 2 hours. They tend to use other medication. They favour other medication. So this information is really used by those who really know what they're doing and are comfortable in terms of when they've discussed these things with those who they're working with, like midwives, who have that relationship. And because what happens actually, when you give birth, is you give birth twice. You give birth to the baby or yep. babies.
Yep.
You can have two, three, four.
Heaven help us.
And then you give birth to the placenta.
Yeah.
So there's a second birth that actually takes place. That's important to understand that it's not just a part of the main birth. It's a whole nother part of birthing. I call it, there's two births. So a placenta can take a while to it depends.
Yeah.
You know, but we're talking about it in very special cases that this would be used, tāne kaha.
Right.
As a rungua for that. So it's spiritual properties. Tāne kaha teaches us about joy, bringing that golden ray of happiness into our lives through the connection with our ancestors and our lineage, our whakapapa, and it allowing us to focus on self-care and the pleasures in life to bring us happiness and optimism. The facts. Tāne kaha bark is high in tannins and creates a strong yellow dye and is used in harakeke for dyeing. It's part of a process. I've dyed with tāne kaha.
Okay.
It's, don't know about the yellow. Okay.
Didn't happen.
Because I'm,
didn't happen with your bark?
No, it was red.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I use soot. Use soot as part. It's part of a process. So you use soot first, and then you the tāne kaha. Okay, I'll have to look for the yellow dye. I'll do that when I go to the summer wānanga in Kawhia. I'll inquire more about that with the weavers that we've got a wānanga in Kawhia in the early year.
Right.
Yeah. Right, this is one that is very commonly known, seen around. Of course, is kanuka, which is English name is white manuka.
That's what happens when languages get all mixed up, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay, let's go for it. Kanuka is used in a vapor bath to get rid of blocked sinuses and colds. Vapor is a type of inhalation where you have a breathing in through the sinuses. So you would boil it up on the stove and then you use it in that way. The steam from the kanuka vapor. The leaves and bark are used externally for stiff joints. The ashes are used to treat dandruff and ringworm. It's used to treat burns and scalds, to treat fungi, fungus, bacteria and viruses. A tea was made from the leaves to treat urinary complaints and also useful as a sedative. The seed capsules treat diarrhea. So the seed capsules are quite distinctive. They're
little round ball. We're looking for a picture on the screen, well, but we know they're different. Like five, they're like that size.
Mm.
I know the microphone can't see where I'm holding my hand.
They're different from the manuka, because the manuka also has a seed capsule.
For someone like you who's familiar with the plants, is it easy to tell kanuka and manuka apart?
Mm. Kind kanuka, mean manuka. That's
how you do it.
No, but just by the feel of it.
Oh, when you put your hand through the leaves.
Oh, yeah, very distinctive.
Soft or harsh?
Yeah, manuka is prickly and not, that's why they say kind kanuka, soft.
Mm.
And mean manuka.
Okay, so now I know. That's the easiest way. I'm gonna remember that.
You're gonna go around.
Yeah, because I've got some at home. I'll go and check them. Neighbours will be like, "What's Aaron doing? You should do some work."
and the spiritual properties. This rongoā imbues the qualities of spontaneity. There you go, you can go and do it spontaneously to restore inner vitality and strength in order to feel special, loved, and fully able to express oneself. Yeah, it's Kanuka's definitely making a, how do you say, it was cleared. Once it was cleared to for farmlands.
Yeah.
Now it's been...
It's making a comeback.
Yeah, that's the word.
Yeah. Is that
making a comeback.
Is that because of the honey has the healing properties, or is that Manuka, or are they the same in that regard?
Oh, there's so many. There are different plants that you can that attract bees. You mean that honey comes from, right? Kanuka is one of them.
Yeah, because there's the company that's bought using the land on the divvy. In the last 10 years, we've seen it. The plants growing, and it's because the honey is valued for its medicinal properties, and they're going to make lots of money from it.
Yeah, good luck. You know, that's quite a mission to go into beekeeping and all that is associated with the different diseases as well that attack the bee population. So.
But that's a beautiful big. It's better than pine trees on the land.
Oh, absolutely, and it looks so much more attractive.
Yeah.
Well, it belongs to the land, and the way that it also creates nutrition for the whenua is not how pine trees behave. They take.
Mm.
They continually take. So the facts, Kanuka is considered to be endangered, but it was due to clearing for farmland and the threat of grazing cattle and wildlife. Kanuka's essential oil has a higher note than Manuka. That's another field that's to do with what they call aromatherapy, so the oil of the Kanuka. The pods are smaller and the tree trunks grow taller than, so if they're tall they'll be Kanuka generally. But you know, Manuka can grow pretty tall too. It is also much softer and therefore kinder rather than mean to touch as Manuka is. That's what we were, so don't forget to go home and
test your plants.
This one is Rangiora. This was known as the bushman's toilet paper. The leaves were used to heal ulcerated wounds. Bruised leaves were used as poultice for boils. A warmed leaf was placed on a white-tail spider.
Really?
Will draw out most of its poison.
Wow, okay.
Yes, I do know about that. A bit about that. The leaves can grow quite large too, yes.
Hence the use of as toilet paper.
Oh, it's very soft, very, very soft. The gum is used as a mouth freshener and as a light perfume. The gum. I've yet to discover the gum of the Rangiora.
So it's not something you use medicinally, the gum?
Not at this point, but it definitely is saying that it's used as a mouth freshener. So it must be I look forward to discovering the gum, the resin. I haven't as yet. The spiritual properties. Rangiora teaches us about the divine masculine energy within us to dig down and access our personal insight into our leadership qualities, organizational abilities, and foresight. So some of the facts. Rangiora was extensively used in cooking to wrap fish, fungi, and raupō. It was used as toilet paper and is probably used to this day for that in the bush. It is still possible to write on the back of a rangiora leaf with a stamp on it and no, that's not possible.
What, put it in the post?
It used to be. Yeah.
We should try it. We have a friend.
Okay. We have a friend here living in Whangaroa who has, I've not seen it yet, but I'm looking forward to it, and if she's listening in, that would be amazing, that it actually has a stamp on it, and it was used, it was written like as a postcard. Hmm. And they also used a ticket for on ferries. Yeah, amazing, eh?
I'm trying to figure out how that would work.
Yeah, that, yeah. Well,
it's just because there's no paper around or something, and you use that.
Well, it has that. It has those qualities too, in terms of paper. Yep, that's rangiora.
Okay, folks, if you've just tuned in, we're talking to Ngaro no Redata. It's our Kairongoa segment, and we're looking at a few of the plants that have medicinal qualities as well as apparently toilet paper qualities. For that particular one, well, what have we got next?
We've got pudiri. So we have a lot of pudiri growing within the village itself, mainly along Pudiri Park, towards going down towards the...
At the end of Cliff Street, it becomes Pudiri Street.
Right, there you go. Go and look for the pudiri trees. They're quite magnificent, the pudiri. One of my favourite. The pudiri moth, which is in the north, an indication when the pudiri moth appears. And pudiri is a name, another name for green. The word green, kakariki. But pudiri is also a name. Excuse me. For the colour green. When that beautiful moth appears, it signals that it's summer. Who have you seen one?
I'm not sure. Have you seen one lately?
Well, I'm not sure that they would be this far south. I haven't seen one here in Whangaroa, but don't quote me on that. They're usually from older trees. Very mature. In the far north, they would be around now. And the pudiri has the most beautiful putiputi as well. An infusion of the leaves in a bath is used to reduce the strains and pains of the body. It is also used as a remedy for ulcers and to treat sore throats and headaches. It is used in other cultures to help regulate menstruation, moon time, or ikura. The ground fruit is used The fruit also helps to support sleep. There's a red berry on the pudiri.
We've got a drawing of one.
Yes. The spiritual properties. Pudiri teaches us discernment and enables us to discriminate appropriately with life choices, offering us balance, unity, and wholeness. The facts. Pudiri comes from the verbena family. It is also related to the vitixen plant, the chaste tree, which is used in women's medicine for balancing hormones. Western scientists have discovered its strong germicidal properties and are now patenting this to make a chemical version of this for the cleaning industry. Well, look at that.
Oh, such good news.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, so guy in the pudiri. The puti puti would be around now. Would be coming.
And they're
blooming.
Pink, small pink flowers.
Yes, they are. They're quite a delight, but that's not really. Doesn't justify it.
I've just pulled up a picture. We're pulling up pictures here.
Yeah, we are.
So every time we pause, it's because we're looking for a picture. Not that any of you guys can see it, but anyway, we're doing it anyway.
So I have two more.
Yeah.
This one's important, the kohekohe, which is a native cedar. This rongoa is for hormone balance and particularly good for menopausal symptoms, including heavy bleeding and flushing. It is also very supportive of urinary and bowel problems, including diarrhea. It acts as an appetite suppressant and helps reduce weight. It is used as a cleanser for blood wounds, bleeding wounds, skin disorders, and rashes. Spiritual properties: to feel nourished and sustained is the message of kohekohe, and to know that you are exactly where you need to be, right here, right now.
And so that there's a town or at least one community called kohekohe, is, and presumably the plant is, there's lots of it around there.
Kaikohe.
Maybe.
Where's kohekohe?
No, you're right, actually. Oh, no, that's down south.
Really?
Yeah, look, Kohekohe Beach Travel Guide.
Oh, how beautiful. Okay.
But I was getting it confused with kaikohe, though.
Yeah, kaikohe.
Which presumably is eating of the kohe.
Ah, the growing that there are kohe. Ah, kohekohe. No, let me check back about that.
All right, we're getting out of that. Let's stick with,
I don't want to tell you any facts.
Let's stick with what we're supposed to be doing.
I don't want to make up any facts.
I'm introducing rubbish here, so we'll just go back to what you've got.
So that's a kohekohe. One of its unusual features is that it flowers directly on the main trunk of the tree.
Okay.
Yeah, it's quite beautiful, very beautiful. Oh, Kohekohe Beach.
Where the Moiraki boulders are, which
really?
People will probably be familiar with those, yeah.
Oh, how beautiful. Oh, no, that's Kohekohe. Kohekohe. That, what you've just gone there? See that?
Yes.
Kohe.
You're quite right. I didn't. Yeah. Yeah, see, I told you I was introducing rubbish to the whole thing. Let's move on to the next.
And to close this part is to the tarata, which has a beautiful lemon. It's called lemon wood. And the leaf, you place the leaf between your hands and rub it, has a beautiful lemon scent.
Is this one that we find in many people's gardens?
Yes, can do. Can do is can grow quite, you know, as natives do, if they're left to flourish. The tarata leaves were made into a paste and placed. We don't have saddle sores, or do we? Placed on the raw areas to cure saddle sores. I don't think you're in the saddle long enough. I don't know. I don't know about that.
There might be a few people who are, but most of us are not.
Yeah. The leaves were placed in a bath and helped ease the pain of joint pain. Internally, they are used with a blend of other indigenous plants. Indigenous, to me, means endemic. To treat asthma, bronchitis, coughs, colds, and sore throats. And the spiritual properties. Tarata teaches us to cleanse our spirit and heal and close any psychic wounds. It also helps us to recalibrate ourselves, to restore ourselves with cleansing and purifying energies. The facts. Tarata is used as a perfume. It exudes a resinous gum that is fragrant and mixed with other plants to create a beautiful perfumed fragrances. And there we have it. So that's a collection. That's a collection of some of my favourites that I'm sharing with you to close off our year, 2024, for the Kai Rungua program, Kaupapa. And thank you to those who have listened in throughout the year. Hopefully you've enjoyed some of the offerings from this time and look forward to joining again in the new year. I can't give you that date because that's up to Aaron.
Yeah, and I don't know it yet either.
And but there will be a focus in that year on Oro Māori, which is a small group of practitioners who pay attention to sound healing and traditional taonga, pūoro, Māori instruments.
Mm. I look forward to that.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your contribution through the year. It's brilliant to have your perspective.
Yeah. No, thank you for having me. I look forward to joining this fabulous radio, independent community radio station to keep it on, not only to keep it on air, but just to enjoy the, you know, sharing with our listeners and offering them into the, to some knowledge.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for coming in this morning as well.
Kia ora.